These mosquitoes are driving me crazy.
Patience, Mark. They become like a cloud before a storm. Listen to that thunder. The storm isn't far off. At least it'll drive the mosquitoes away. How are you doing, Brother Paul?
We'll be in Perga soon, and I can rest.
Perhaps we'd better rest a week or two before making another journey. And you're not well at all. Watch it. Here, I'll brace you up.
Thanks, Barnabas. We have just one more pass to go through. I'll make it. Listen.
What's wrong?
A rumbling sound. Far away up in the mountains. Above the ravine.
I hear it too.
Quick. Quick up that cliff. We have to get out of this ravine fast. A flash flood is coming.
Flash flood? It can't be.
We have only seconds. Here. Help me, Barnabas.
The rain's made the rocks very slippery.
We must get up that cliff.
Mark, get under his other arm. There. Up we go.
I'm slipping.
Look, the flood's coming down upon us. Hurry.
Yes, hurry.
Hello, everyone. We're so glad you've joined us for another story.
It sounds like another story from the time of the apostles and the early Christian church.
That's right, Aunt Sue. It was a time when most of the world had not heard about Jesus Christ. To take the message far and wide, adventurous and brave missionaries journeyed to many different places.
Where does today's story take place, Uncle Dan?
Much of today's story takes place in Asia Minor, or what is now known as Turkey. It's a mountainous region, with towns scattered among valleys and along the coast. Paul had lived most of his life in Tarsus, at the southeastern corner of Turkey. So that's where he wanted to begin his missionary journeys.
It doesn't sound like a very pleasant place to live. It's amazing that Paul could do all that traveling and preaching.
I believe he was able to do it because of his great love for the Lord. He relied on Christ's promise.
My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Well, I'm on pins and needles waiting to hear how they escaped the flash flood.
Apparently, Paul faced several of those, for he wrote about being in great danger from flooded rivers, as well as robbers and wild animals in the mountains. So, I call today's story
Adventures in Stormy Mountain.
Almighty God, give us strength to escape this flood.
Just a little more, Uncle Barnabas.
Careful, men. Don't slip now.
There. We're at the top.
We made it.
Praise be to God.
Look at those rocks and trees. The flood is carrying down the ravine.
We wouldn't have stood a chance. We should never have come this way in the first place.
Paul, you're shivering. Here, take my cloak. It's a little wet, but it'll protect you.
Thank you, Brother Barnabas.
We'd better get you to shelter.
There's a trail going above the river. We can take that back to Perga.
The storm's dying down, too. Come, Mark, let's get Paul to shelter.
As summer drew near, the coastal town of Perga became hot and steamy. The marshes nearby produced mosquitoes and gnats without limit.
Well, Mark, it's time to pack up again. Paul wants to go over the Taurus Mountains and to the cities of the upper plain.
Well, that's even worse than here. Doesn't he realize the dangers? Robbers in the passes? Snowstorms in the mountains?
I'm sure he does.
There are runaway slaves, too, who make their living with the knife. There are some armed Roman patrols, but not enough to stop all of them. No one in his right mind would travel those roads unless he's well protected.
You must remember, Mark, that Paul has a special mission from the Lord.
And the trails are slippery and the cliffs steep. They say the snow in the mountains is melting fast and the rivers are treacherous.
Mark, I don't think any of those dangers would persuade Paul to change his mind. Besides, we can't stay here much longer with the heat of summer coming. Already families in Perga are packing to go to their summer homes in the mountains.
Then let's return to Jerusalem. There are many in Israel who need to hear the good news.
What's that, Mark? Return to Jerusalem?
Mark thinks we should return to Antioch in Syria, or Jerusalem.
In a few days, we leave for Antioch and Pisidia over the mountains.
But that's over 100 miles away, over rough, rocky roads.
The Lord will guide us as he has done in the past.
It's a foolish plan. We're going to die before we get there. I'm going back to Jerusalem.
Stick with us, Mark. We need you. We need your personal memories of Jesus and your able pen. Remember the miracles on Cyprus?
Yes.
The Lord will take care of us.
A soldier of the cross can endure any hardship, Mark. The cities to the north are on the great trade routes. From there, our message can go to dozens of countries. But if you're afraid, you may go back. I can't stop you.
I have to go back to Jerusalem on the next ship.
Mark, don't leave us.
I'm going to pack my things.
No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit to be a missionary for the Lord.
We must be patient with him, Paul. He's just a young man.
You're too easy on him because he's your relative.
I still believe he'll become a great missionary.
But not with me. Now we'd better prepare to leave in a few days.
All right. I'm going to miss Mark.
Mark caught a ship and left for Jerusalem. A little later, Paul and Barnabas prepared to go into the mountains. Many of the families of Perga were also leaving for the mountains, taking their cattle with them to the summer pastures.
I've arranged for us to go with that caravan to the mountain pastures. There, perhaps we can join a merchant caravan going to Antioch.
Oh, very good. That'll make it a more pleasant journey.
And safer.
Yes.
That's the signal for the caravan to start.
Ah, just look at those peaks. So refreshing. I can hardly wait to get there.
Hee-yah! Hee-yah! Let's go! Let's go!
The caravan left the city behind and slowly made its way up out of the valley. Within a few days, they were in the forests of oaks and firs. When they came to green meadows, some of the travelers left the caravan for their summer homes, often only small houses made from clay, rocks, and branches. Further into the mountains, they came to waterfalls and rushing streams. They crossed on wobbling rope and stick bridges. Several times they had to wade through icy streams. There were days when the journey was pleasant, with a multitude of birds filling the forest of cedars, junipers, and cypresses with song, and the bees flitting from jasmine to laurel to violets. There were also days when the icy wind whistled through the mountain passes. The travelers clutched their sheepskin coats tight to their necks and kept plodding onward. At night, the travelers built large fires and huddled close to the warmth, wrapping themselves in wool blankets or sheepskins.
Oh, it's good to have this blazing fire.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be freezing tonight, so we better make sure we have enough wood to last us. Here, Barnabas, have some cheese and bread.
Mmm, a meal fit for a king.
Oh, crawling in. We'll have to be up before the sun.
I hope we come to a bigger caravan tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Ours is down to just a few families and merchants, not safe enough. Paul? Paul, are you asleep already?
After 5 or 6 days in the mountains, the missionaries emerged on the central plain and into the province of Galatia. The road became more crowded as caravans headed for Antioch of Pisidia and other towns. For several days, Paul and Barnabas walked north beside a beautiful lake, where hundreds of storks and cranes waded in the clear water and hunted fish in the marshes. North of the lake, at the foot of the mountains, they came to Antioch of Pisidia, also called Antioch of the Hills.
Oh, we're here, Barnabas. We made it.
I don't know how, Paul.
I couldn't have done it without your help and the Lord's.
Tell me about this Antioch.
Well, that's very much a Greek city. But the Romans have an outpost here. Many well-traveled roads cross here, and there's a good-sized Jewish settlement with a synagogue. I think we can establish a strong Christian church here. And from here, the good news will go far and wide.
So we go first to our Jewish brothers.
That's right. Now come, let's find a place to stay. The Sabbath is near.
Early on the Sabbath, Paul and Barnabas entered the synagogue. They placed the veils called talus over their heads, signifying they were Jews, and sat down in the seats for visiting rabbis. The worshippers didn't often have visiting rabbis, and this caused some excitement.
I wonder who they are.
They look
true Israelites.
They sit in the seats of the rabbis.
Perhaps they're from Jerusalem.
It's too early for them to collect the temple tax.
Hush, here comes our Hassan.
Brothers, welcome to our humble synagogue. Where are you from?
I am Barnabas of Cyprus and Jerusalem, and this is Rabbi Paul of Tarsus, who has studied under the famous Gamaliel in Jerusalem and for a time was a member of the council.
Rabbis from Jerusalem?
Studied under the great Gamaliel?
Something of great importance must bring them here.
Brothers, we are honored. If you wish to say something to the people, you may do so now.
Well, I thank you for the privilege. I see also that you have many God-fearers here.
Yes, many of the Gentiles in Antioch have come to know the true God.
Very good. I'll begin. Men of Israel and all others here who reverence God, the God of this nation Israel chose our ancestors and honored them in Egypt by gloriously leading them out of their slavery. And he nursed them through 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness. Then he destroyed 7 nations in Canaan and gave Israel their land as an inheritance.
Paul related the story of Israel and then brought it around to Jesus.
It is one of King David's descendants, Jesus, who is God's Savior of Israel.
Jesus of Nazareth?
That can't be.
He died on the cross.
The leaders of Jerusalem said he was an impostor.
But God brought Jesus back to life again. And he was seen many times during the next few days by the men who had accompanied him to Jerusalem from Galilee. These men have constantly testified to this in public places.
How can that be?
Tell us more.
It's just a story.
Brothers, 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 listen. In this man Jesus, there's forgiveness of your sins. Everyone who trusts in him is freed from all guilt and declared righteous, something the Jewish law could never do.
No, no, that's blasphemy.
That Saul is a false messenger.
You mean the Gentiles don't have to become Jews to find God?
Brothers, be careful, brothers. Don't let the prophet's words apply to you when they said, "Look and perish, you despisers of truth, for I am doing something in your day." Something that you won't believe when you hear it announced.
The service is over. Go on home, everyone.
And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath.
Paul and Barnabas, come with us.
You must tell us more.
We want to hear the story from beginning to end.
Yes. Tell us, seems to be true.
Tell us more.
Many of the God-fearers and some of the Jews followed Paul and Barnabas down the street, asking questions and intently listening to their answers. And many rejoiced in the good news of God's love. Throughout the week, Paul and Barnabas visited with many in shops and homes and told them about Jesus. But already, some of the Jewish leaders were becoming worried about Paul's message.
We must keep an eye on this Saul of Tarsus. He can take many people away from our traditions.
We'll watch him everywhere he goes.
And next Sabbath, we'll be prepared to challenge him.
Good. Good. We will protect our religion, even if we have to drive these 2 false rabbis out of town.
Cobblers, farmers, merchants, entertainers, priests, and people from all walks of life came to hear Paul's strange story of the Messiah who died and came back to life.
Hush! Paul's about to speak.
Quiet, quiet. I don't want to miss anything.
Brothers, I've come to tell you that Christ has made us free. By the help of the Holy Spirit, we can count on Christ's death to clear away our sins and make us right with God. Dear brothers, you've been given freedom. Not freedom to do wrong, but freedom to love and serve each other.
You are not a true follower of Abraham.
Brothers.
You do not speak of the law.
Brothers, you must listen to the words of the Messiah who lives. It was necessary that this good news from God should be given first to you Jews. But since you have rejected it and shown yourselves unworthy of eternal life, Well, we will offer it to the Gentiles.
Thank you, Paul.
We listen to you. We believe you.
Yes, Paul.
This is as the Lord commanded when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, to lead them from the farthest corners of the earth to my salvation.
Praise God! We can now come to him.
You mean we don't have to become Jews first to know God?
Since Christ came, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free man, for you are all one in Jesus Christ.
Away with you.
Get rid of him.
He is cursed with a demon. Don't let him darken our sight again.
The Gentiles cheered as Paul stepped off the platform and walked out. Crowds gathered around him in the square outside. They rejoiced in Paul's message and told it to their friends and family. But trouble was brewing. Some of the Jewish leaders in Antioch hated Paul for taking away so many people from their control. They laid a plot to get rid of the missionaries. First, they talked to some of the influential women in the city.
You are all God-fearing women in this city. You know how important it is for your families that we keep our Jewish religion pure.
That's right. There is only one God.
We must be firm in our religion.
How would you like it, however, if there were no restrictions? If the sons and daughters of slaves and pagans mingled with your sons and daughters, and everyone was equal?
Terrible. That's blasphemy.
It would destroy our religion.
It would wreck our families.
Well, that is what that false messenger from Jerusalem teaches. Saul says there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. He is stirring up the pagans against God-fearing people like you. He will destroy what you hold so dear. He will destroy the peace of our city.
Well, we'd better do something. I'm going to tell my husband. He's mayor of the city.
I'll tell my husband, too, and my brothers. We'll get rid of these criminals.
Soon, an angry mob gathered outside of the meeting place of Paul and Barnabas.
There's a mob outside, Paul, and they're growing angry.
I have no fear.
But it's a mob of ruffians who better flee.
It isn't safe here any longer.
But we can't run like scared rabbits. We're messengers of the Lord Jesus.
There are many other cities that need your message, brothers. You've taught us well. We can take care of ourselves.
He's right, Paul. The Lord himself said, when you are persecuted in one city, flee to the next.
All right. All right, I hate to run. But I guess it's best. But we'll be back, brothers. We'll be back, for you are our sons in the Lord, and we love you.
Paul and Barnabas stepped outside. The angry mob surrounded them and shoved and pushed them through the streets of Antioch until they were out of town. The new believers tried their best to stop the mob from harming their beloved teachers, but they were powerless. Finally, the mob let the missionaries go.
There! You're out of our city now! Stay out!
Don't ever come back!
Next time we won't be so gentle!
We won't have your kind in our city!
Now get going or we'll stone you!
Stone them!
Kicking off their sandals and slapping them together! We have done our duty to tell you the good news. See to it, then. We are not guilty. The dust of our feet shall be a judgment against you and your city.
Away with you!
Paul, Barnabas, we'll walk away with you and make sure none of the mob try to harm you. And it'll give us a few more hours to spend with you.
I'll never forget your care and love for me, brothers. We live by the Holy Spirit's power, so let us follow his leading in every part of our lives. I trust the Lord that you will grow and be strong in the faith.
Paul and Barnabas were on the road again, this time a military highway to the town of Iconium, about 3 or 4 days' journey by foot.
There it is, Barnabas, the city of Iconium, founded by Roman soldiers many years ago.
I'm glad to see it after all those dry roads we've been on. It looks so green.
A lot of gardens and vineyards.
Who's that running toward us? Oh. It looks like he knows us.
Oh, blessed be God. I've been watching for you too.
Blessed be God. And you are...
Onesiphorus of Iconium. I've heard from friends of the good news you bring. You must stay at my house while you're in Iconium. It is a humble place, but you'll be more comfortable there than at the inn.
That's very kind of you.
Yes. Then come with me. I also am a God-fearer, so I go to the synagogue. I hope you can bring us the reading and sermon this Sabbath.
I'm sure we can. unless the Hazan has been poisoned by some of the Jewish leaders in Antioch.
Paul and Barnabas stayed in Iconium for almost a year. More and more people came to their meetings. They could not meet in the synagogue for long, however, because the leaders would not allow it. But according to tradition, Onesiphorus' house became the first Christian church in Iconium. Friends, neighbors, slaves, and masters gathered there to hear the good news of Jesus.
In Christ, there is eternal life, forgiveness of your sins, peace with yourself and with God. Christ Jesus died for our sins, just as God our Father planned, and rescued us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God through all the ages of eternity.
Glory to God. Amen.
The message of hope brought joy to the listeners' hearts. Also, many miracles happened at the hands of Paul and Barnabas.
I've been healed.
I was crippled, but look at me. I can walk. I can run.
I can see. I was blind, but now I can see.
I can hear. I was deaf from birth, but now I can hear.
Jesus has healed me. Praise his name.
Praise the name of Jesus.
But there were some who did not like what they saw and heard. Instead, they were filled with hatred and jealousy.
We must stop the works of these two blasphemers, or else the whole city will turn to them, and where would our ancient traditions be then?
The more we try to stop them, the more people go to hear them. There must be some way to rid ourselves of these pests.
We've taken them before the city rulers, but they couldn't do anything. So what can we do?
There must be a way.
There is a way. We will stir up a mob. There are many idlers in the marketplace. We will demand that Paul and Barnabas be brought before the rulers.
But we've brought them before the rulers already, and they just let them go with a warning.
Ah, but before Paul and Barnabas can be brought before them, the mob will grow so angry that they will stone the two impostors.
Very good.
There's a good plan.
So, one day as Paul was speaking...
Let's stop these false teachers. They cause strife and division in our great city. They cause our citizens to follow some other king rather than Caesar. Bring them before the court. Try them for treason.
But we've done nothing wrong. Your city rulers have said so before.
But they want to see you again. Will you come with us quietly? They have ordered it.
Paul, what? Don't go. There's a man here who told me of their plot.
What?
You'll never get a chance to get to the rulers. The mob will stone you on the way.
But then what should I do?
We can get you out of the city safely.
You mean flee? I can't run like a frightened dog. What will become of all the new believers here?
You must leave us in God's hands.
Very well. But by God's grace, we'll return.
So again, Paul and Barnabas fled from a mob, leaving Iconium for another city. But behind them, they left a strong group of believers, the first Christian church in that area. The good news of Jesus Christ was changing the hearts and lives of people in even remote places in the mountain cities of Asia Minor. For Paul and Barnabas, in those stormy mountains, there were many more adventures for Christ to come.